Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, April 11th, 2013. While the most awarded male in Canadian country music, Paul Brandt is also a very busy person. He's on tour this spring promoting his first CD of solely gospel music. He's been spending time in Nashville working on a documentary on the history of gospel music, and even had a chance to perform on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry. Paul's on the phone with us tonight from his home studio in Cochrane, Alberta, to talk about these latest adventures. But before we get a chance to him, let's listen to I'll Fly Away from his CD, Just As I Am. Interview with Paul Brandt. Good evening, Paul.
Hey, good evening. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. The last time we talked, you were in the early stages of starting to put Just As I Am together. You've always had songs with a gospel message on your CDs and that, but what prompted you to go with a completely gospel CD at this point?
You know, there's a couple different reasons that it was really important to me to put an album like this out. I think the first one is just the fact that these are the songs that I base my life on. These are the things that I truly believe in. And I grew up going to a tiny little church. When I was 6 years old, we started attending there. And it was quite a legalistic church. There were no instruments allowed in the church at all. It was all a cappella singing. And these were the songs that we used to sing. You know, I kind of narrowed it down from a bunch of different ones that were my favorites and picked these songs. And it's really where I cut my teeth musically. You know, I the melodies and the lyrics, I think just sort of, you know, sunk into to my psyche. And when I finally, you know, did pick up a guitar when I was about 13 years old and start playing music, they had a huge impact on me and a huge influence. You know, I think that just from a musical standpoint, getting to put an album like this out was important to me too. Some of my favorites, you know, people like Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley, you know, it was normal in an era of music back then to put out a gospel album.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to be one of those artists. These songs are the roots of country music and rock music in a lot of ways. And from a purely artistic and musical standpoint, I felt like it was the kind of statement that I wanted to make as well. So it's been fun jumping into this music and definitely challenging. It pushes me to a whole different level as well.
Well, it's a different kind of different style of music as well.
I think just the gospel genre is a different style, but we approached it from kind of a bluegrass kind of a approach, and we're just shooting a documentary actually on the making of the album and some of my reasons for putting the album together down at the Ryman Auditorium. And for folks who, you know, might not know about the history of the Ryman, it's a pretty incredible story. Yeah. There was a riverboat captain named Captain Ryman who heard about a preacher who was preaching revival gospel meetings in the Nashville area. And he wasn't too happy about that, so went down to give him what for and let him know that he needed to leave town. And at that gospel meeting, he decided to give his life to Jesus Christ and become a follower of his. And eventually built a church for that pastor right in Nashville, which became the Ryman Auditorium. So if that had never happened, we wouldn't have country music the way that we have it today.
Right.
And to be shooting that documentary down there in that venue was a pretty amazing feeling. To know how much of the history of country music had come from that place was well, it was very inspiring.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that whole aspect in the documentary and gospel music in a couple minutes, but I want to keep focusing on Just As I Am for a minute. You mentioned that you sort of started taking a lot of your favorites and culling it down into the songs that were on the album. How did you go about choosing which songs you wanted to do?
Yeah, it was pretty tough to narrow them down, honestly. I think I got it to a list of 20 or 25 songs, and then it was like, oh, man, how am I going to figure this out? We reached out to family and to friends, different people who we knew had a love for these songs, and just kind of, I just would ask them, you know, if you had to pick three songs and they were the ones that had to make it on an album like this, which ones would you pick? And I found that there ended up being quite a bit of overlap. I didn't really give them a feel for what I had picked, and I just kind of let them say what they thought would be important, and we ended up kind of bringing it down to those top 10. But one song that wouldn't have made it on the album was the song Just As I Am. I actually hadn't thought about putting that one on this project. And my business manager, who's been with me right from the beginning of my career, let me know that was her very favorite song, and she would love if I'd put it on the project, and we did. And I'm really glad we did it. I think it was a really special recording, and I think it turned out really well. So it ended up really grabbing my attention and becoming the title track.
Well, the neat thing now that we're working with CDs and MP3 tracks and things like that, you're not as limited as you were with the old vinyl in terms of track numbers.
So you can definitely pick a few more and have a little bit more creativity when it comes to what you're going to put on the album. I've had quite a few people who've listened to the album say that they felt like we picked their favorites. But there have been one or two who've gone, you know what, we just think you're going to have to do a volume two. So we'll see what happens.
Well, when you were going through this and that, was there any one song or any of the songs that kind of became kind of a favorite as you were rehearsing it and recording it that sort of just stuck with you?
You know, it's so hard to pick a favorite, but I think that, you know, as I was researching these songs and figuring out which ones we wanted to put on the album, what always jumped out to me was, you know, the story, behind the songs. You know, I mean, you look at songs like Jesus Loves Me, and you know, it's just such a simple profession of what the Christian faith is all about, and it's such a great way to sort of, if you had to just distill it all into one song, that would be the song to do it. You know, there's a song on this album that not a lot of people know about, and it's and probably have heard before. It's called Flee as a Bird, and it was a song that my grandparents actually used to sing to me. They were first generation Eastern European immigrants to Canada, and I always assumed that it was an old Russian hymn, but as I researched it more, I ended up discovering that it was actually an old jazz standard from the late 1800s. And they had heard it obviously somewhere and had just decided that they were going to pass it down to us. The one song that has a story that I think is the one of the most inspiring that I've heard is the song It Is Well With My Soul. The story, yep, of Horatio Spafford and his journey in business in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, he had already lost a son. The Great Chicago Fire happened and he lost most of his business interests, and sent his daughters and his four daughters and his wife back to England where he'd come from. He was going to wrap up his business and go back to meet his family, and then got word that on their trip back to England, their boat had sunk. And he received a famous telegraph that said, saved alone, from his wife.
Yeah.
So he knew that he'd lost his daughters and now had also lost his son. And as he was crossing that part of the ocean where the boat had sunk, He wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And when I think about the faith that it would take to write those words, knowing that everything that he had been lost, I mean, it's almost a modern, at that time, a modern-day story of Job. And to still say, you know what, this life is not what it's all about. There's more to it than this. And to be able to write those words, to me, is just such a moving story. And I was thrilled to be able to put that on this album.
Now, have you been able to include some of the history behind these songs in liner notes and stuff like that?
A little bit about some of these things in the liner notes, and I know that some of these stories will come out through the documentary that we're shooting as well.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and continue our conversation with singer-songwriter Paul Brandt. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
In God's praise forevermore. Life is like a mountain railway with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Heed the curves, the hills, the tunnels, and never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in God's praise
back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Life's Railway to Heaven from the Just As I Am, the latest CD from Paul Brandt. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Paul. Just before we went to break, Paul, you were talking about the documentary that you're working on and that whole the history of gospel music. How did you get involved with that?
I've been chatting with Country Music Television in Canada about doing this project for, it's got to be at least 5 or 6 years. And I didn't know exactly when it was going to work out timing-wise that we'd put it all together, but they had mentioned to me that when we did it that they'd want to do a documentary on what we were up to. So this is kind of something that's been a long time in the making, and we traveled down to Nashville just this last month to do some work on that documentary. We shot it at the historic Ryman Auditorium. It's just a beautiful venue. It's one venue of the year across North America, and it's the kind of place that it doesn't really matter what genre of music you perform. It's a place where you really want to go and do a show. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible, the acoustics in the room, the beauty of the room, and the history that's there. So I was pleased to get to go down and shoot there. We'll be shooting a bit more of the documentary right here in Alberta, in a really picturesque area where there's a tiny little white church that's sort of nestled right in the foothills with the background of the Rocky Mountains. And I did some of the photo shoot there, and I'll be doing some work just talking about the making of the album and some of the stuff we did. We also captured the making of the album had cameras there while we recorded in an old historic church in Nashville on Music Row that's been turned into a music studio. There's some great footage there that will be included in the documentary as well.
So how far along in the documentary is the documentary right now?
We're just in the beginning stages. I've just actually today started receiving some of the rough cuts of what we did at the Ryman, and it looks beautiful. The way that the building was lit and the players that we had just did an incredible job. One of my desires for this project is to just make sure that on every single step of the project that we're just going above and beyond. I mean, we shoot for excellence always in the recordings that we do. But I think for this, these songs to me are just so special that we're just pushing even harder than we ever have to make everything note perfect. And I'm really pleased with the way it's turning out.
Well, and it sounds like you've been doing a lot of research on this. Was there anything that you sort of discovered about gospel music as you were going through that you hadn't really heard before?
You know, one of the things that just was opened up to me in the process is just seeing how many people are moved by these songs. You know, we get through social media, we can get an immediate reaction from people on what they're thinking about the music. And I think one of my favorite tweets that came in over our at Paul Brandt account was a fan who said, you know, I don't care what you believe. If you're a fan of country music, you need to listen to this. And I was really moved by that. You know, I saw that there was a connection musically and spiritually that is being made with our fans that I hadn't really ever thought too much about before. But these songs are resonating with people from all walks of life. And that's exciting to me. You know, it's exciting to me when I think about concepts from the Bible like eternity being written in the hearts of men. It means that songs like this and messages like this resonate in our hearts because it's how we were made. It's how we were built. And I'm excited that I get to go across the country and gently and respectfully share this message of hope that I found through these songs.
Well, the neat thing about gospel music, too, though, is it's the root of so many different styles that are already out there. I mean, how many Motown artists came out of churches singing gospel music?
Yeah, it's true. You know, there's a heart and a soul that is in music. I think sound-wise, but also lyrically, that comes from a basis in truth and a basis in morality and ideas of right and wrong. You know, the edges that rock and roll pushes are because there historically were edges to push,
mm-hmm.
and those edges came from gospel music.
Yep.
I think that when you look at country music and the themes of right and wrong and good and bad and loving your neighbor and good clean living, all those kinds of things, those things never would have been infused into country music had it not been for gospel. Mm-hmm. And then I think just sonically, the soul that you hear in R&B music, the longing that you hear in the voice, that all comes from the roots of gospel. And so it's been a real journey musically for me as well.
Was there anything that surprised you as you were working on the documentary?
I think one of the questions that I've been receiving as I'm doing interviews and just talking to people about the documentary, I've had people ask if I was worried about putting this project together, if I felt like it was taking a big chance, and I hadn't really thought about it too much. You know, I think that for me, making art, making music, I've always tried to do it in a little bit of a vacuum. I've tried to do it and not think too much about what other people are thinking. That's I think, a struggle for everybody. You always want to know that you're doing something that is going to matter to someone or that you're not going to offend people or whatever. But I try not think too much about those kinds of things when I'm recording and putting projects together. For me, it's just kind of all a part of the process. And you jump in and you do what you're moved to do and what you're inspired to do and what you believe. And whether it's recording a full-on country album or this gospel album, that's always kind of been my process. But that was a bit of a surprising question, just that people were seeing this as some kind of a risk. I'm just doing what I really think is the right thing to do and what I'm moved to do artistically.
Well, and I think there's always the challenge that, you know, once a person sort of moves, say, from, strictly doing country, and like I said, you've never hid your faith away, and you've always had songs that have spoken to that, but now you're doing a completely gospel CD. Now you're doing a documentary on gospel. Is that going to pigeonhole you now as a gospel artist as opposed to being a musician who does gospel, country, whatever?
You know, when I was 13 years old, I remember praying as I got a guitar and I started playing more and more music. And I remember this really specifically because it was a really transformative moment in my life. Until that point, we weren't allowed to listen to the radio. We didn't have a television until I was about 13 years old. And like I'd said before, there's a lot of rules and a lot of legalism. The only artists we were allowed to listen to were artists like Sandy Patty and the Gaithers. And at 13, I wanted to rock and roll. I remember praying and saying, Lord, I feel like you've made me to do music, and I'd love it if I could make music for people who might not have ever heard about you and give you the glory for it. And oh, by the way, please don't make me do music like the Gaithers. And what's funny is that now it's come full circle, and a fellow who's played piano for the Gaithers for years, Gordon Mode, is one of the co-producers on this album. So I'm convinced God's got a great sense of humor. But, you know, I know that God's answered that prayer over the years. And that's always been my focus. And, you know, there are moments where it probably hasn't been as clear as it is right now with the Gospel Project. But my focus has always been to use my gifts and my talents and my abilities that have been given to me by God for His glory. And if that pigeonholes me in any way, well, you know, that's fine. These are the things I stake my life on.
Okay. Well, we're going to take one final break, and then after we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation with singer-songwriter Paul Brandt. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Just As I Am, the title track from Paul Brandt's latest CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation tonight with Paul Brandt. One of the things you've talked about as well recently is a chance to play at the Grand Ole Opry. What was that? How did that opportunity come up?
You know, I've had the opportunity to be at the Opry before, and I started chatting with the manager at the Grand Ole Opry about this project we were doing, and he said it'd be great if you'd come and play some of these songs at the Grand Ole Opry House. And it's always a thrill to play there. It, just from a history standpoint, knowing all the different artists who've been there over the years, it really was exciting for me. I remember the first time I played at the Opry, I felt kind of nervous and honestly a bit worried about what people would think. I always felt like I needed to try and prove myself, and this time I just really felt comfortable. It was really a fun night, and I was so blessed to have Ricky Skaggs come out and the Whites. They came and performed on Life's Railway to Heaven with me, and I think I probably was hovering about 3 feet above that stage, just having the support of those artists and knowing that I was right there in the moment playing at the Grand Ole Opry. It was a pretty exciting moment for me.
And when you when the whole thing finished, what was going through your mind as you walked off the stage?
Well, you know, I got a chance to have my kids there with me. Joseph is 5 and Lily's 2, and you know, they're getting to an age now where they're starting to kind of understand what Daddy does, you know, and it's really fun for me to be able to share, you know, my passion for music with them. But you know, after we returned from Nashville, my wife called me over at our studio, and she said, you know, I just want to let you know that your little boy's running around, and he's singing How Great Thou Art right now. And it was just such a thrill to me to know that these songs are going to be passed on to the next generation because we've done this project. And leaving the Grand Ole Opry stage and knowing that we had kind of, well, we're not letting the circle be unbroken. You know, we're just kind of we're kind of continuing on with that tradition of the roots of music in the way that we're doing with this project was a wonderful feeling.
Well, I know you've got a tour coming up for Just As I Am. And you've got the documentary project on that. Where can people find out more about the tour and the other projects that you got going on?
Yeah, we've had a lot of people asking about the tour stops and which cities we're going to be in. And if they go to the paulbrandt.com website and just check out our tour section, they can see where we'll be when we're close to you. And we'd love it if you come out. We're playing primarily across the country. There are a couple venues this isn't true in, but most of the venues are churches. If you've never been to a church before, don't feel intimidated. We'll also be playing a few of our country hits in more of a bluegrass style on this tour, which is going to be a lot of fun to revisit those songs in a bit of a different way. Gordon Mote, who a lot of gospel fans will know, but even if you haven't heard his name, you've definitely heard his music if you're a country music fan. He plays on just about every record that comes out of Nashville. He'll also be along on the road with us. Gordon was 3 years old when his parents discovered him playing the piano, and the thing with Gordon is that he was born blind. He sat Wow. down at the piano and just knew what to do. So he's an amazing talent and just a really great guy, a great singer, and he'll be out with us. The proceeds from this tour of all of our ticket sales are going to a project that we're working on in Haiti to help people who are still struggling through the aftermath of the earthquake that happened down there. And we'll be taking one fan from this tour across Canada down to Haiti in November to dedicate that project. And so it's a worthwhile cause and hopefully a night that you won't forget anytime soon. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I know you're going to be in Cambridge down in our area, and so just check your website, and that's paulbrandt.com.
That's right.
Yep. Well, Paul, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Paul Brandt, and be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.